Welcome back to Texas by Design. I'm Clayton Black, the Chief Strategy Officer for Quiddity Engineering, and glad to sit back down today with Bob Aylward, Chairman and CEO of our firm. Bob, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, so you just recently took a trip abroad and went to Poland, and welcome back. Glad to have you back.
It's good to be back.
So I know, at least with our staff, there's been a lot of conversation about your trip and a lot of interest, and so, you know, want to visit a little bit about kind of your trip over there to see the refugee situation. And so I think kind of just to start us out, can you talk to us about how this trip came about for you?
Sure. Well, I had been doing some consulting with the executive director of a group called Ananias House. They're a Christian ministry based here in Houston. And like a lot of us, they were concerned about what's been happening in Ukraine and wanted to see if something could be done to organize a relief effort. So John Samara, who's the executive director, asked me if I could help organize a program for the Ukrainians that were streaming into Poland. So over the years, Ananias House has built up a network of pastors around the world, including Poland, and they reached out to see what help was needed. So I told John I'd never done anything like this before, but I'd give it my best.
That's pretty cool. So talk to us a little bit about what your expectations were going into the trip.
Sure. Well, I was not quite sure what to expect, but I could imagine refugees coming into Poland with whatever they could carry and needing just about everything. I went into this expecting to get lists of needed items and trying to organize collection efforts, secure the items here in the U.S. and ship them to Poland and perhaps even to the Ukraine.
So when you get there, I mean, did you find things as you expected, or were they different?
Yes and no. As expected, we saw a lot of refugees, nearly all of them women and children. The belongings they traveled with essentially fit into a backpack. The Polish government was running special trains from the Ukraine border to Warsaw where the refugees could get processed. They set up a couple of pretty large tents outside the Warsaw train station where refugees could register for assistance and get basic supplies. These resources are available for newly arriving refugees for several days, after which they get passed over to an NGO, a non-government organization. And these are mostly churches who help get the refugees settled into new cities. The officials that I spoke with at the processing center told me that they're able to get most of the supplies that they need locally, and that it was more effective and efficient to do it that way, as opposed to collecting items and trying to ship them into Poland from the U.S. The big issue is that they needed additional funding in order to purchase what was needed, and this would become a recurring theme that we'd hear throughout the trip. You know, we had heard ahead of time that there was a massive influx of refugees, more than 3 million. Wow. So far. Many of these stayed in Poland, but some have migrated to other countries, and some have even tried to go back to Ukraine. And it's understandable that the Ukrainians want to stay near their country, try to get back home when they can, but the big question is whether their cities are viable after the incredible damage that's been inflicted by the Russian army. Warsaw itself has taken on over 500,000 refugees, and that's with a base population of 1.5 million people. So that gives you some feel for the magnitude of the situation. So we met with six or so local pastors of churches across Poland, and they made the trip into Warsaw to speak with us. These pastors are trying to help anywhere from 50 to 200 families each. Generally, they're able to find food and other supplies that are needed, but the two big problems they're facing is housing and daycare facilities, especially for the younger children, so that the mothers can go look for work. Many Poles are taking refugees into their homes and apartments, but this is really only a short-term solution. Businesses are opening up empty office buildings, converting them into shelters. Some churches have taken donations that have allowed them to rent apartments or hotels. But without exception, every pastor asked for monetary support to give them the resources they need to continue to find housing for the refugees. Some of the pastors want to start working on longer-term housing solutions, but these efforts often get tied up in discussions with the Polish government. And, you know, it just makes it difficult to finalize project plans, at least at this point. We went to an expo center about 20, 30 minutes outside of Warsaw that's being used to house refugees. The complex is made up of a dozen or so of these rather large buildings that are normally used for conventions and expositions. They've put in temporary walls to create breaks between family units, but there's no real privacy in there. The refugees are given a folding bed, which constitutes really their only furniture. There's a place to get meals and bins for clothing that they can sort through. But again, their belongings are essentially what they have in their backpacks. There are a lot of children running around, but there's really nothing for them to do. You know, I didn't see any toys or games or things like that. On the plus side, you know, they have a roof, they have food, but, you know, honestly, it's not much of an existence. We met several Ukrainian mothers who were trying to get acclimated to life in Poland. One had been there about 2 months and was learning the Polish language in hopes of getting a job. Another was previously a music teacher in Ukraine, and she actually spoke pretty good English. She had two middle school age kids and was able to get a job teaching music in Warsaw. They're both really worried about their husbands, you know, fighting in the war, and have hopes that the war will be over soon so they can go back home.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously the Polish community has been impacted by this. How are they handling the crisis, Bob?
You know, I have to say, Clayton, I was just incredibly impressed with the Polish people. They really appear to have just taken things in stride and are determined to get through the crisis and help the Ukrainians any way they can. Several polls express sentiment that the Ukrainians are fighting for them as well. You know, there's a long history in Poland of adversity with the Russians and the Germans. Many polls often talk about World War II, you know, like it happened just a few years ago. Poland has suffered a lot in the hands of both countries, and there remains a great deal of distrust of both countries. I thought the government program of processing the refugees seemed like it was well run and well thought out. I was very impressed with the willingness of the Poles to open their homes to strangers and felt for the exhausted pastors that were working hard to care for these families. I often found myself wondering how we as Americans would handle ourselves if we were in a similar situation. I hope that we would rise to the challenge and carry ourselves in a manner consistent with that of the Poles.
Yeah, for sure. So, Bob, based on your experience, you know, what do you think that we should do if we're interested in helping?
Yeah, I think the smartest thing we can do is just really raise funds to help with the housing and the child care. As I said earlier, before going over, I was thinking we would do some kind of a collection and packing event and then try to ship things over. But after talking with the officials there in Poland, I just don't think this is going to be that helpful and could actually create problems for them. Just about everyone that we spoke to told us that the needs of the refugees change almost weekly. As such, we could collect items here that are needed now, but by the time they get to the Poland in 2 or 3 months, the needs could change and be replaced with something else that they need, and they may not have that anymore. So, you know, you could get the items over there really at the wrong time and be in a situation where they got to figure out what to do with it. So, you know, when you think about it, it just makes a lot of sense to just raise funds, and I think that's the call to action that we need to do to really get resources into the hands of the churches in Poland that are serving the Ukrainian families. Our charitable foundation, Quiddity Foundation, as well as Ananias House, is set up to accept Ukrainian relief donations. And you can find them by going to, an Ananias House case, it's www.ananiashouse.org. And for the Quiddity Foundation, it's www.quiddityfoundation.org. That's probably the best way to really reach out.
I know folks, you know, that might be donating, might have interest in how their funds are being used. You know, what kind of safeguards do you envision around this?
It's a great question, especially, you know, I think for that part of the world. I said the first thing that we're going to do is really hire some field coordinators through Ananias House to document the needs and to get accurate pricing for what's being purchased. We think these coordinators could be some of the refugees themselves that would be paid by our organizations to carry out these duties. We can work with the church pastors to identify needs and document how the funds are being used through these field coordinators. And then they can report back to us on what was done and the documentation of what was done. This will provide some accountability and create a few jobs for the mothers that are trying to find work in Poland. I think this will be more efficient, and it's a better use of funds to help employ some refugees rather than pay for shipping containers and have goods show up too late to be helpful.
So in addition to just donating, you know, is there anything else that you feel like we could do to be helpful?
I do. Several pastors expressed interest in holding summer camps to engage the children. They're very worried about the children, what can be done to engage with them and help get them integrated into life in Poland. If we're able to organize some teams that wanted to head to Poland in late July or August, we could provide some valuable assistance to the pastors that want to engage with these kids.
Sounds like kind of a neat experience. So people that are interested in that, how might they go about signing up?
Yeah, we'll need to post the information, but we'll create a URL. It'll be on the website, the Quiddity Foundation website, that is. And there'll be an opportunity for people to sign up. So they can either sign up as a group or they can sign up as individuals and we can pair them up as part of a team.
That's awesome. Well, Bob, I'm really glad that you took the time to go over and kind of see how things were progressing there. And I think some great information and hopefully we can help out in kind of the outreach effort.
Yeah, great. I tell you, I think it was good to go over there and see it for yourself. There's nothing quite like firsthand experience. I think that probably all of us are, as Americans, just wondering what can we do to help and how do we get involved? But it's hard to figure out where to get started. And so hopefully this information can give us some clarity on the situation and give us a path forward.
Well, really appreciate you going over there and doing that. And I appreciate you coming on and kind of giving us an update as well. Hopefully great for our audience to kind of get to hear the situation there and also some avenues of how we can help.
So, you bet.
And for all of you joining, thank you. If you've enjoyed this episode with Bob, please go on and like the episode. Obviously, we'd love for you to follow our podcast so you can see future episodes and maybe some updates on the Ukrainian situation. Very much appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next time.